The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Just a few introductory kind of comments as we are waiting for the last couple of people to walk in, zoom in, fly in, whatever you're doing. I would like to start us with a little bit of a story. How many of you are familiar with, or at least know about the Pali Canon that this tradition of Buddhism is kind of based on? So a number. It's kind of, sort of, know about it. So the story I'm going to tell is from another collection of texts that is the Chinese parallels called the Agamas. And one of the ways we know how old different stories are or have an idea of how different suttas or discourses evolved is by comparing them between the ancient Pali texts and the texts that went to China. I'm not going to bore you with the details of that, but there's just great little differences. And this one has a backstory that involves, it's sort of more like a myth or a fable, right? And it takes place in the Buddha's time, but in one of the heavenly realms where there's a god who's a frequent visitor to the Buddha named Sakka. And in this story, Sakka goes off on business and leaves his throne and his crown throne room with all the nobles kind of sitting around. And while he's gone, it's described that this little troll-like creature, sort of like a cross between a gnome and a fairy, comes in. So this is myth, right? And it comes marching in the room, and it's little, and it's wrinkled, and it's ugly, and it's mean. And it walks right up to the crown, right up to the throne, and plunks itself down. Here I am. The gods don't like this. And so they start heaping abuse, just insulting this creature. Like, get out of here. You don't belong here. Get off the throne, you know, and worse, I'm sure. It doesn't go into details. There's 33 of these nobles, if you will. And they all became quite angry. And as they got more angry and insulted him in various ways, this little gnome-like creature, demon-like creature, gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it gets more attractive and more powerful looking with every insult. So then the gods start getting scared as well as angry. They're anxious and like, well, okay, well, what do we do about this? And Sakka returns, and a couple of them sort of breathlessly meet him at the door and say, look, there's a yaka, extremely ugly, who's sitting in your spot. He's on your throne. And we insulted him. We tried to get him to go away. We told him he didn't belong. And he just got more and more attractive and more powerful. And now he's sort of dominating the room. What do we do? And Sakka doesn't lose his cool. He just sort of looks at them and he goes, oh, I think I know this yaka. It's the one named on the side of anger. And he goes, I know how to handle this. And so he goes off and he gets some candles and some incense. And he comes into the room and puts his robe over one shoulder, which is a sign of respect in ancient India, and walks up to his own throne and bows, making eye contact with the yaka. And he says, O great seer, teacher, I am Sakka. And then the yaka gets a little bit smaller and less powerful looking. And then Sakka bows again and repeats the phrase, just naming who he is and treating this demon thing with respect. And he shrinks again. And then Sokka bows the third time and simply, honestly, respectfully, again, names who he is and sort of venerates, respects this creature. And it dissolves and poof, it's gone off the throne. So that's the story. And then Sokka looks around the room. He resumes his seat. He takes his rightful place, you know. And then he says, from now on, please, if there's hostility in this room, be careful not to add to it. Don't add hostility to hatred. Don't add anger to a tense situation. It will only make things worse. So that's this little myth. And the Buddha relays this myth as a teaching story to his monks, right? I like it for a number of reasons, but I think the main one that I appreciate about this is that it can be a metaphor for our own minds, right? Any sort of contention or parts of us we don't like, anything arising in my experience that I don't like, that if I treat it with hostility and anger, will become even more powerful. Inner contention, fighting against, breeds more of this kind of stuff, right? Yeah, exactly. So I want to just kind of point to the underlying basis that this has in how we practice metta. And I just want to ask too, if you happen to know you're not muted, could you please mute? We're getting a little bit of feedback. All right, thank you. The underlying basis in the ancient texts of metta is exactly this kind of respect. You know, there's a lot of beauty and wisdom to being loving and kind towards our experience, and there's definitely a place for that. But what I'm speaking to right now is something that's a little bit more of an underlying dynamic to all of the Brahma Viharas, all of the immeasurables, which is this idea of non-hatred, non-hostility, wish for well-being, that can be even more general than the kindness and the lovingness that these states often create, condition in our hearts. It's this notion of universal well-being. And that is in, see if I can find my piece of paper. It's in some ancient chants that actually the Pali is often a little bit closer to this idea of non-hatred, non-ill will, than it is even to happy, being healthy, being compassionate. So here's some more of the ancient formulation of it. And this comes from a sutta, which in turn has become a chant, which those of you who are interested, I'll teach you at the very end so the rest of you don't have to suffer through it. And it is Reflections on Universal Well-Being. It says, may I abide in well-being, in freedom from affliction, in freedom from hostility, in freedom from ill will, in freedom from anxiety, and may I maintain well-being in myself. And it again offers that to everyone. May everyone abide in well-being, in a freedom from hostility, from ill will, from anxiety, and maintain well-being in themselves. So as we go through the meditation, which we're about to start, I'll drop in some of the phrases that you're more used to hearing in English, the being happy, healthy, etc. But when we get to the phrase, may you be free, I just want to encourage you to keep in mind what we're wishing people and other beings to be free from. and you can invent your own language, but some of what we're asking for people to be free from is this hatred, hostility, ill will, affliction, anxiety. So you can add that if it resonates for you, and you can set it aside if it doesn't. So that was more than enough talking. I ask you to take a comfortable meditative posture. You can have your video on and or off as feels comfortable for you. And you start by tuning into your body. Perhaps noticing wherever your feet are contacting the floor, or your shoes, or carpet. Noticing the support beneath your feet, boundlessness of the earth beneath that. And then noticing the contact of your seat against the chair or bench or cushion. Your back. Noticing the contact of your hands on each other or on your lap. Just noticing, feeling into this body that's here in this moment now. Knowing that you can always return to this sense of being supported in this body. The support beneath your seat, the support beneath your feet, the contact of your hands. And then perhaps taking two or three long, slow, deep breaths. Receiving the breath. On each out breath, releasing the exhale. Just starting simply by settling the heart and mind into the body, into the rhythm of the breathing. Receiving and releasing. If the mind wanders away, allowing it to return with as much kindness and gentleness as is available. And allowing thoughts, sensations, sounds to arise and disappear again without fighting any of it, but also allowing anything extra to fade to the periphery. Settling the heart and mind in the simplicity of this moment, this breath. And then gently, without forcing anything, bring a being to mind who represents unconditional care, acceptance, love. This could be someone from your past, a grandparent or a beloved figure. Could be someone you hold in your heart that way now. Or it could be a being you don't even know, the Dalai Lama, Kuan Yin, or a being from another religious tradition. Could even be a felt sense of benevolence. Nature. Sky. And breathing in the sense of what it is like to have that being's presence in the heart and mind right now. Receiving a sense of that. And offering any respect, care, any other feelings in return. Receiving on the in-breath. Releasing outward on the out-breath. Allowing any sense of safety, kindness, care to suffuse through you. And then releasing that being, letting them fade to the side for now. And calling to mind another being. This one is any person, being, animal, creature that in a just a simple way makes your heart smile. Be a child, a puppy. A friend of mine uses a particularly cute squirrel. Anything, anyone. Noticing the feeling your mind and heart. Receiving that feeling and offering this being good wishes. Natural opening of the heart breathing out a sense of care, well wishes, kindness. And if it feels like it helps to focus the meditation, perhaps using some of these phrases or other words in your own language, may you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be peaceful, at ease, and free. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be peaceful. Be easeful. May you be free. Continuing to offer well wishes, using whatever words or language work for you, or just the silence, an internal gesture of the heart, offering outwards, breathing in through the heart, the body, receiving the goodness or whatever arises inwardly. Now expanding the range of these good wishes to include not only this being, but perhaps the first being as well. And zooming outwards, broadening to include the being in your seat, yourself. Allowing good wishes, respect, care to radiate through each breath. With each out-breath, suffusing all the parts of this body, this heart, this mind with kindness, care. Allowing the breath to expand out beyond to these beings in your heart and mind, including inclusive. May we be safe. May we be happy. May we be healthy. May we be peaceful. Be easeful. May we be free. Now allowing the sense of kindness, well wishes, benevolence to expand beyond the we in the heart and mind, maybe towards the other beings in this room, this Zoom room, or just radiating out. Carried on good intentions, carried on the breath. Maybe only to a few beings that happen to come to the mind or heart, or maybe radiating out like a star or the sun, basking anyone and everyone in its path. Basking all of lived experience that is arising in this moment in a sense of care and respect. Well wishes. Using whatever of the words feel authentic, real, or just beautiful. May all beings be free of hostility. May all beings be free of affliction. Be free of anxiety. Be happy. Safe. Healthy. Peaceful. Easeful. Free. Allowing these wishes to radiate through all of your experience, all of what arises, no fight, no conflict, nothing left out. Now and then returning to the sensations in the body, in the heart, noticing what's arising, enfolding that too in a wish for well-being, respect, kindness. allowing the heart and mind, the body to be open to what is arising in this moment. With respect and care. And radiating out and in throughout all of your experience. The noble, the petty. The bright aspirations and the human foibles, all of it included. Be peaceful, easeful, and free. And in the last few minutes of this meditation, taking a moment to regard the intention of loving kindness, of metta, of goodwill, and offer that beautiful intention your heart and mind have been nourishing. Offer it respect, care, benevolence. Appreciating the wish itself. And then as this meditation begins to draw to a close, releasing any doing, any specific intention for just a moment to really drink in and savor or be with whatever's happening in this body and mind in this moment. Resting in this moment. Welcome back, friends. So, I'm about to change the settings on the chat again so that you can chat with me. I had turned it off to reduce the possibility of Zoom bombers. So just take a moment or two if anyone wants to offer, share anything about how that was for you. If it was, Neil says, that was lovely. Thank you, Neil. Feel free to either unmute yourself or put it in the chat, whatever's more comfortable for you.
I felt that it's Jerry here in Toronto, and I was surprised. Hi, it's nice to meet you for the first time. I've joined this group for the last couple of weeks, and I guess I was finding it, maybe because I'm physically tired, but I was finding it difficult to focus on these statements. It seemed, maybe because I'm not the most experienced meditator, easier to focus on the concrete of the breath. Mm-hmm. And so it was, and so I was like dozing off and then thinking, oh, I need to focus on these statements. And so, I don't know, it was just, perhaps it's just the time, but it seemed easier to just start and end with the breath.
I'm glad to hear that you're discovering that the breath is a helpful focus point for you. And I hope that the meditation, the form offers permission for not using language. It's absolutely beautiful practice just to radiate it out or to send it out on the breath and feel it. Some of us respond more to words, and some of us respond more to images or feelings, even an internal gesture. I know one long metta retreat I sat in Burma, I would gesture like this outward during walking meditation, actually do it. And that was more concrete to me than the language. So each of us has our own style, and please use whatever creativity works for you. You know, it's total permission to get playful with this.
I was going to say, so Jerry wouldn't feel too alone, I was trained to focus on one single word or image. And anytime my mind wandered, to just come back to that and let go of wherever I was. And that works beautifully for me. And also focus on the breath at the same time. But primarily that one single concept, or so the language, in a way, frankly, the language interferes a little bit for me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Claire. That's a beautiful reflection. And like I said, language isn't for everyone. And many people find that it's easier to concentrate with just a single word, mm-hmm. or very pared down. Very pared down. So it just depends on the style. Denise, I see you have a hand up. I want to offer, yeah, please unmute yourself.
Yes, thank you. I have been experiencing, I have been in this group for I think 2 weeks, and it's been hard, I think, to connect sometimes with the loving awareness. I don't know if it's me that I'm trying to rationalize awareness, or that I'm wanting awareness to feel loving, and when it doesn't, or if I just like be aware of the awareness, it feels, I guess, empty for me, and maybe I'm, and then I think, and I feel like this feeling of like loneliness sometimes even during meditation. So I wanted to ask, when you started saying like just allow your mind, your heart to be with whatever it's arising, that sort of gave me more ease than the intention of, you know, loving awareness. And then I realized, well, I think the loving part is an actual intention that we choose, but it's maybe not something that I'm going to just find right there, you know?
Yeah. You just said it.
What can you offer about that?
Yeah. I mean, what you just said is really beautiful, actually. So it is fundamentally, this practice is about cultivating conditions and cultivating the intention. And so it's very common for people not to feel the emotions right away, and sometimes not for a long time. But there's that trust, the being with, as you kind of alluded to in your statement, there's something about the capacity to be with that is in itself loving. Even if it doesn't feel loving, the being with is an act of love. It's just like being with a good friend who's having a tough time, right? You can just, that presence is a form of love. So to just trust that you're not doing it wrong. You're cultivating an intention that will ripen over time. And for some people, it feels warmer than others, faster than others. And those of us who avert more to the quality of awareness itself often find that emptiness is the dominant experience. If you avert more to the relational experience, the relationship, sometimes then the emotion will come more to the fore. So you can play with that a little bit. It's like a figure ground, you know, background foreground relationship. So I hope that made some sense. But,
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Great. So I want to make a plug for sticking around, for going into small groups. And I know not everybody is a fan of it. Some of you love it. Feel free to say no if you don't want to. You can hang out and wait till the end and rejoin the big group. But there's actually studies. So one of my favorite studies is by a scientist, Barbara Fredrickson. And she did a study with a group of colleagues called Open Hearts Build Lives, I think it is, something like that. And in it, they talk about how loving kindness practice kind of goes hand in glove with pro-social satisfaction and relationship connection. And practicing them together actually helps both build. So there's some scientific grounding to that. There are other studies as well. That just happens to be the one I know the name of. So just encourage you to get together. I'll put you in groups of about three. And one at a time, just one or two points, either about the meditation or the teaching that feels right to share, and then let someone else go. And this will be for about 5 minutes. Thank you. And Jerry, I think you had your hand up as well.
Yes, thank you. I was thinking of Barbara Fredrickson's book, the title, which you said was Building.
It's actually, I put it in the chat for everyone. It's not a book. It's a research paper. Research study, and it's freely available on the NIH website.
Oh, really?
She also does have a book out called Positivity, but the study, I think, is what I was referencing. Yeah.
Well, I felt that the title was being embodied in these small groups. So I felt the love and warmth the participants. So it was lovely.
Wonderful. So friends, we've reached the top of the hour. And I want to thank each of you for being here. It was a total delight to lead this meditation tonight. I really appreciate each and every one of your presence. And we'll dedicate the merit. And for anyone who wants to stay on, I am happy to teach the very short chant that I spoke earlier. It's a nice little ditty that you can have in your mind that actually, it's another form of metta practice, actually, if you're interested in that. And if you're not, then once I dedicate the merit, you can just wave and unmute and say goodbye, okay? So may the time that we have spent here together, may our practice, may the beneficial intentions we have cultivated tonight ripple through our lives for our own benefit and for the benefit of all lives ours touch. And may that benefit ripple out through their lives and the lives they touch, and so on. May all beings be safe. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free of hostility, anxiety. May all beings know the highest joy of release.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you all for coming.
Come back again, please.
Would love to.
Love you, folks. See you tomorrow.
Okay. Be well.
Okay, for anyone who wants to stay, I'm going to share my screen. I also put a link in the chat to a series I did some years ago, but it has the PDF of what we're going to do in case you want to download it. It's called Reflections on Benevolence or Reflections on Universal Well-Being. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to mute yourselves only because if we all chant at the same time, it will sound very confusing. So I'm going to chant and ask you to just chant after me, but just chant it to yourself. That way we're not getting a zillion different voices at the same time. So if you're ready, I'm going to go through the first verse, call and response, and then we can do the second verse in unison because it is exactly the same tune. It's a very simple tune. So, is anyone not? Here we go. May I abide in well-being. In freedom from affliction. In freedom from hostility. In freedom from ill will. In freedom from anxiety. And may I maintain well-being in myself. Okay, and in unison, we'll do the next several lines. And we're going to end at maintain well-being in themselves because that's the only, these are the two stanzas I generally chant. And I don't know the tune to the rest all that well. May everyone abide in well-being, in freedom from hostility, in freedom from ill will, in freedom from anxiety. And may they maintain well-being in themselves. May it be so. So thank you all so much. You're welcome to unmute if you wish. And
could you put the reference study in the chat? Because it's not in the chat.
Oh, I did, but I put it in the waiting room chat. Hang on, let me get it for you again really quick. And in the chat right now, there is the reference for the chant that I just gave. And there's, in fact, a copy of the chant being chanted that is also under my teacher link at Audio Dharma. You'd have to go up one level from the one I sent you, but you can get it if you've forgotten the tune. You can hear it again there. Yes, Mary Christine?
I was wondering, do you lead any sanghas when you regular meditation groups that we could join? Because you were so wonderful today. Some of us, I think, are really inspired and would love to.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you. I'm not leading a regular sangha right now. I am speaking again next two Wednesdays from now at Coastside Vipassana. And I teach there about once a month. So that's the most regular. And if you Google Coastside Vipassana, I think you might have to get on their mailing list to get the Zoom link. I'm not sure they actually post it.
And could you remind me your name? I've forgotten it. I'm so sorry.
Of course. My name is Dawn Neal.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
You can also just Google me. I'm around as a teacher. I'm posted. So.
I loved your approach. Every teacher has a different angle, and yours was lovely. It was really very refreshing.
Thank you so much. It was a delight to be with every single one of you, and be well until we meet again.
Thank you, Dawn.
Thank you, Dawn.
Bye,
everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Metta to all of you. Bye.
Thank you, Dawn, Metta, and Karuna, and Deepak.